I just want you to know I'm as encouraged today as I've been since March. This is a great number, and children are still filing out of here. A great number of children, a great number of so many that are here today. And as Jimmy pointed out earlier, we do recognize that there are others that are tuned in to us that can't be here with us today. And so to our virtual church members and to our those who are in this room, thank you so much for making the decision to be here. It started out in our class. We had such a great number in class, and that encouraged me. Great participation, great comments. And, you know, I am so, again, just overwhelmed today with thankfulness. I thank you for you being here. And, in fact, I'm so moved with it. I want to thank our God right now. If you would, let's bow together. Father, we love you so much. We're so thankful. Father, that when we set out on this journey back in March, Father, into parts really unknown, we were talking about your disciples, specifically Peter, and how Jesus told them to launch out into the deep. And Father, from that moment forward, we wanted to launch out into the deep and always expect the spectacular. Father, today we see you. We know you're here in our midst, but we see you through the encouragement of so many who have been able to come out and be with us today or tuned in to us today. Father, it's been a difficult time, but today we feel like maybe we've gotten over the hump. And Father, we praise you for that. Now, we still recognize there's a virus and it's still taking lives and still infecting others. And Father, we pray for that cure. We pray for that to go away. But Father, today, help us to continue to worship you. Father, at this time, as we reflect on you and remind ourselves that you are enough, Father, I pray that we will take the words that we're going to present from your word today and challenge ourselves and remind ourselves and encourage us to allow you to be in control. Again, God, we give you all the praise. Thank you for everything you've given to us, especially Jesus Christ. It's our prayer in his name. Amen. It is easy to get distracted, and I will confess to you, it's easy for me. I know I could blame it on attention deficit disorder or whatever, but there's a lot going on in our lives and a lot going on in the world around us, and it's real easy sometimes to get distracted. You know, it's like when I'm talking to children, and again, I think children have always had this issue because I've always heard it, but I know today when you know, we're so much more electronically driven and such, sometimes you have to tell that child or your child or whoever it is, look me in the eyes. Let me know. Well, today, I want us to not look me in the eyes, but I want us to look God in the eyes, figuratively, of course. And I want us to recognize that today, that there's a lot of distractions. There's a lot going on. But our theme is still focus. And as we focus today on the cross, on the presence of God, may we all remind ourselves that God is enough. He is enough for everything we're going to face today. And so today I wanted to bring you reminders of His Word. And I want to bring you reminders of things that in our lives, whatever's going on, that God is still on His throne. But in order to do that, we've got to understand something. That there is a choice. Just like in Joshua 24, beginning in verse 14, Joshua addressing the people, the children of Israel, he reminded them, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away," get rid of the distractions, Terry's words, "put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Verse 15. "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord," then he said, "make a choice. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, it's a choice. Why did Joshua say that? Now remember, Joshua was a great leader. Joshua had great courage. He had great boldness. Back when 12 spies were sent out and 10 of them said, we can't take the promised land, Joshua, along with Caleb, said, oh yes, we can. Then Moses passes away, this great leader. He passes away, and Joshua is picked to be the one who chooses, who leads these knuckleheads, if you will, across the Jordan River into the promised land. And so he's done all these great things. He's conquered Jericho through God's help and all these other Ai and other places, ultimately Ai. But the fact of the matter is he's a great leader. But at the end of the day, he says, look, the reason I choose God is because he is enough. He is plenty. He's overwhelmingly enough. I heard Bill, sorry, I gave you credit, even though you always do a great job on there. David and George this morning reference Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. This is focused, right? The Hebrew writer said, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking focused, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's focus. Why am I talking about choices and focus today? Because the only choice we need to make today, and the only focus we need to have today, is that God is still on his throne. No one's knocked him off of it. No matter how crazy this world is, no matter how hypocritical people can be, no matter how much garbage we look at or hear about, and God is in control, and he is more than enough. And through that today, I want to remind you of some great promises. Some great promises throughout his word that we can take with us. Because again, it's easy to be distracted. It's easy to make bad choices. It's easy to lose focus. But today, let's get our thoughts together and remind ourselves of these things. Number one, there's no promise God can't keep. If you turn in your Bibles to where Jeff read to us from in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses, this time we're going to read 16 through 22. This is one of those sections of scriptures. And let me say this. I've talked with people recently, some of those who are tuned into our live stream, I'm quite certain today, how they're in Jeremiah in their Bible study. Those of us in the Roadrunners class and whoever else is reading, you remember when we were in Jeremiah and in Lamentations, we were like, I can't wait to get through it. Why? Because it's sad, it's depressing, because they just make all these mistakes the Israelites do and all these crazy things. And Jeremiah cries over the people and it's very sad. But boy, there's a lot of great truths about God in those books. A lot of great promises about God. And in Jeremiah 32, it is one of those rock solid sections of scripture, okay? Beginning in verse 16, let's read it together. Now when I had delivered the purchase deed to Baruch the son of Neriah, I prayed to the Lord saying, now listen to this confidence. Ah, Lord God, this is what Jeff read to us. Behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. You show loving kindness to thousands and repay the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, whose name is the Lord of hosts. You are great in counsel and mighty in work. For your eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt to this day and in Israel and among other men. And you have made yourself a name as it is this day. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, the point that we're under right here, the reminder we're under, is there's no promise God cannot keep. Jeremiah is saying there, getting on to these people, being a prophet of God, he's letting them know that our God can do anything. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, He created everything we know. He delivered the people out of Egypt. But the bottom line is this. He told them, He promised them, that they would have the promised land. When Jeremiah speaks in Jeremiah 32, you know where he brought them from out of Egypt ultimately. And now he was going to get them right there through Moses, but they complained and they made a lot of mistakes. But ultimately through Joshua, Israel got to the promised land. Why did they do that? Because God promised them they would be. Now, did it take a minute? Did it take a while? Sure it did. That wasn't God's fault though. It was theirs. But when Joshua led them across the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, that was truly, remember, Joshua is one of the ones that brought back the cluster of grapes. But he wasn't one of the ones that said, oh yeah, it's just like God said, it's just like He promised, but there are giants in that land, we can't do it. Joshua is one of the ones that said, oh yes, we can. But now he's leading them into that promised land all those years later. Why did they go to the promised land? Because they were great warriors? Because they were so spiritual? Because they were just a great, just mighty people? No, because God promised it. That's why it happened. Do you know in the Bible, if you add them up, I didn't, but someone did, and I took their word for it. There are 8,887 promises by God in the Bible. Do you know, if they haven't already, every one of those is going to come true? You know why? Because of Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie, nor a son of man that He should repent. Has He said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good? 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, even as faithful Christians, we need to remind ourselves that God promised us this world's not ours. This world's not our home. We're just wayfaring strangers. We're just wandering pilgrims, right? And once we understand that God said, one day, I have gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. If He said that, and we truly believe it, then are we going to get bogged down in any of this other garbage? No. Because God is enough. Because every promise He's ever made will come true. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. He's promised us peace. He's promised us forgiveness. He's promised us joy. He's promised us love. He's promised us heaven. He is enough. Point number two. There's no prayer that God can't answer. Going back to Jeremiah now, chapter 32, verse 21. You have brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and wonders, with a strong hand and an outstretched arm, and with great terror. You have given them this land of which you swore to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. The book of Exodus, okay? We understand in Genesis, it's the beginnings, okay? Exodus is the exit out of Egypt, right? And God draws out Moses. They had been enslaved by Egypt, get this, for 400 years. 400 years. That is a long time. We've only been around since 1776 in this country. 400 years they had been enslaved. But then there's Exodus 2 verse 25. All of a sudden, after 400 years, God looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. Why? Why did God take notice? Why did He deliver them? It's simply because He heard their prayer. In 1 John 5:14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If it's in God's will, it will get done. If it's not in God's will, then we don't want it to get done. So my question today is, are we praying with confidence? Because God's enough now. There's no prayer He can't answer. There's some prayers He won't answer maybe, but God can do anything. So today, what happens if we get on our knees and we pray, God, give us a way out of this mess? First of all, He's already done that, right? He's given us a way out of all this worldly mess. But specifically, a way out of this virus mess. Keep praying that prayer. Keep praying that prayer with confidence. Because it's coming. If it's in His will. What about all this mess that I'm so disheartened, truthfully. I'm disheartened that Christians are getting wrapped up in this social media mess that's going on. What did David and George tell us this morning? Don't listen to the deceiver. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And so we get so wrapped up in this mess. And you know what? I'm not supposed to be political in this, but I'm going to say this right here. I don't care if you like the man who's in office. I don't care if you like the man who's running against him. But I will say this. We need men, we need to choose the man in that office that will not silence the church of our Lord. And you can say I'm speaking to this candidate or that candidate. But I'm telling you, I don't care if they're morally, I do care, but I'm not voting on them to be a moral leader. I'm voting on them to make it so that we can be the moral leaders. And we need to understand that we get so wrapped up in this mess that there are some Christians spewing sin. How they hate this person and they don't like this person and whatever. As Christians, we never should get caught up in that. We need to be praying for ways out. Because God is enough. We need to be praying to be better husbands, better fathers, men. Because this world needs better husbands and better fathers. Ladies, you need to be praying to be better wives and better moms, because this world needs better wives. Children, we need to be praying. We need to be praying for their future husband and their future wife. It's such a critical decision for them to make. Why? When we say, I'm going to pray for you, that almost becomes the catch-22, doesn't it? But when we know that God is enough, it becomes the greatest thing we can do. When I know with confidence that when I pray to my God, He is going to hear my prayers if it's in His will, then yeah, I want you praying for me. And you want me praying for you. Thirdly, this morning, there's no promise God can't keep. There's no prayer He can't answer. And thirdly, there's no problem God can't solve. Going back to Jeremiah 32 again, this time down a few verses in verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Don't you love that? Don't you love we do not serve a God who is weak? Who is not confident? No, we serve the Almighty, folks. We serve Yahweh, Jehovah, the one, the only, true, living God. And guess what? He's got our backs. He's in control. In this, it's interesting to note that when you hear verse 27 again, I'm going to read it one more time. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Those aren't Jeremiah's words. Jeremiah didn't coin those words. It's not some scholar's words that studied this year after year after year and said, okay, this is a good thing to put right here about God. No, these are the words of God Himself. God can do everything. He's omnipotent. God knows everything. He's omniscient. What does that mean? That He's got all the solutions to every problem we will ever face. Let's face it. We've all got problems. We've all got challenges. I mean, I've heard Bill say it and teach it this way, and I keep stealing it from him. I hope he doesn't mind. But let's suppose that we could go and I could put all the problems of me in the middle of this aisle. And then George and Samantha can put all their problems, and Scott and Debbie and all, we can put all our problems in a big pile. Now some of us, when we saw everybody else's problems, we'd go get our problems back, right? Well, my problem wasn't that bad. But we all, whatever it is, we all have problems. That's the whole point. Some may be bigger than others. Some may be harder than others, right? But here's the thing. God can answer and has a solution to every one of those problems. He is enough. He is more than enough. We don't need self-help books. We don't need some person expert out there telling us this. And yet, granted, I understand they all have their purpose, okay? And God can use every one of those people. But my point is, we've got God. And I'm not saying don't take medicine, and I'm not saying all that. I'm just saying if we trust Him, He will lead us to the right solution. But we got to trust Him. In Jeremiah 13, verse 23, he asked these questions. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard change its spots? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do evil. In other words, we are what we are. You didn't ask to be the color you are. You didn't ask to be the height you are. You didn't ask to have the hair you have. You didn't ask. God just gave it to you, right? We are who we are. And when we make mistakes, we need God to change us. We need a God to get rid of our problems. Do you worry about money? Some do, right? Maybe a lot do. It's God who created gold. Do we worry about family? Well, it's God who designed it. Do we worry about where we are? It's God who lit the path. There are some that think that they may have a problem that God cannot solve. But I'm sitting here to tell you, He's already trumped the worst problem of all, and that's sin. You see, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. God is bigger than our problems. Then finally this morning, as we close out and we remind ourselves there's no promise God can't keep, there's no prayer God can't answer, there's no problem God can't solve, there's no person God can't save. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in life. Maybe we've been distracted. Maybe we've lost focus. Maybe we've lived a life as far away from God as possible. Jeremiah 32 again, verse 28 this time, talks about Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to use this as an illustration point today. Talking about being as far away from God as possible, okay? Verse 28, Jeremiah 32, "Therefore thus says the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, and the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall take it." Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, right? A very mighty king, a very powerful king. He takes Israel, Judah, into captivity, right? He takes them and he controls them. He enslaves them. He owns them, if you will. In Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar was so empowered with himself that he had a 90-foot statue built, likely in his image. And he had so much power and so wrapped up in himself that he said, when this music plays, you bow down and worship this statue. In other words, worship me. God, of course, humbled him. He was actually eating grass like an ox. Hair had all grown out, nails, all these things, a nasty scene, this mighty king. But in Daniel chapter 4, verse 37, Nebuchadnezzar, of all people, said, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven." All of those works, all of his works, are truth. His ways are justice. And those who walk in pride, he is able to put down. What a thought. Evil, selfish, self-righteous King Nebuchadnezzar. What if at the end he was the believer? Can God take a Nebuchadnezzar and change him? He certainly can. He took a murderer in Moses. He took a drunkard in Noah. He took an adulterer in David. He took a mess with Samson. He took a denier in Peter. He took a persecutor in Paul. So what about you? What about me? Today, God can take us wherever we are. We are clay. And if we allow Him to mold us, He can make us something very spectacular. You got broken lives? We're all broken people. You got a mess at home? We all have skeletons in the closet. Wherever you are right now, God can take you. Just like He did Nebuchadnezzar, just like He did Samson, just like He did fill in the blank. And He can make something spectacular out of it. Because there's no person God can't save. So we need to refocus. We need to re-examine. We might even need to repent and rededicate. We don't need to look down anymore. In fact, we need to look up to the King, the God of this universe, the Father of all. Today, be saved. Understand, He is enough. Give Him your problems. Give Him your prayers. Give Him your life. And let's do it as together we stand and sing.